What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Honest Tattooer Podcast. My name is John Mesa, and I'm joined by Matt Triano.
Hey, how you doing?
And G Money on the couch.
What's up, guys? Back again.
So before we get to the critiques, let's talk about a few things. One, I got this email directed to the shop the other day, and they were asking if one of us was willing to participate in their career day.
Oh, yeah.
So it's cool. It's geared, you know, towards like, I'm guessing they didn't specify, but I feel like it's geared towards like maybe teenage kids.
It's probably high school.
Maybe even high school. Yeah. And asking to have somebody that represents the shop kind of just like spread the idea of being a tattoo artist.
What it is to be a tattooer.
Yeah. Which is like, I feel like more kids now probably maybe consider it, because I mean, like, there's more of them getting involved in the tattoo industry. But I mean, I was like, oh man, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know what to tell them.
It's weird because it's not a sustainable career. Like, it's not like you're getting a job with an employer and you have a retirement plan. And like,
no,
there's, especially that a lot of it is illegal, right? Like, it's probably not right. Something that you want to go around like talking to kids about.
I know. Oh, and be like, oh man, shiver me timbers, kids. Right? If you want to live the pirate life.
I mean, I think it's definitely more on the level now than it was a couple of years ago, but still, like, there's, I don't know.
I think
it's a good way to make a living, but I feel like it's not there yet as far as like, it's a career.
A career. I mean, it's a career for us. We made it a career, but
maybe that's the wrong way to say it then.
Yeah, because I feel like it's a big career, but at first you have to kind of just. It's weird to go and promote it to kids because I feel like it's something that you need to find in a way, like you know, like if you really want to do it, if you really want it, you'll find it. It'll find you somehow.
Like when I think of career, I think of like 401k corporate, you know, you're getting a paycheck every week. Like that's what I think of as a career.
Well, I think the whole point of the event that they're trying to do is to kind of give them more career paths. So they have, you know, more of a broad kind of thing. So there's like, I mean, tattooing can be a very rewarding career. It's something that can be awesome, but I'll tell you straight up, it's not awesome for most people.
And it's not easy.
Like
the easy part is coming in and doodling and having a good time.
Yeah.
But to actually turn that into something that you could live off of for the rest of your life.
It's a lot of fucking work.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And
because you have to hustle to like keep it more work and less hanging out.
Yes.
Because you're not making any money just hanging out.
No.
You know,
you're making no money.
You got to make time of.
And when you start, you're making no money.
And the reality too is that there's a time limit. You know, you're not going to be 65 years old and tat in the same way when you were 20.
For
real.
If
you're tattooing at all at 65.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Correct.
How many tattooers do you know right now that are over 50?
Over 50, yeah.
Like there's a few, but not many.
Not many.
And not many that are doing good.
That are doing well and
doing consistently.
Yeah.
Consistently. It's definitely a.
Which is scary to think about.
Yeah.
Because we're not that far away.
Because I'm not far.
Right.
I'm turning 41 years old next week.
Wow.
Next Monday, I turned 41. I'm like, damn, 41. I don't feel 41. I feel pretty good.
Is there like a wind sound effect there?
That was pretty perfect right there. I don't think I need
to record that.
Record that and have it there.
Some money samples.
But I mean, it's like, I'm turning 41 next week. But no, actually, I feel like this. That's how I feel. I'm turning 41 next week because I feel like I'm in a.
The DMV is going to send you the disabled, the blue. Yeah. The
blue I feel parking like, thing. You know, I'm in a good point of my 41 years of age. But like, do you think, I think it's funny, like when Adam Kaplan was here and he was with his son, you know, it's like, you know, of course, when his son was like, oh, you want to be a tattoo artist? Oh, but you went to school and you did all these things. Why'd you want to do this? You know, I feel like part of me would probably feel the same way. If my son wanted to be a tattoo artist, I'd be like, oh, but there's so many other things you could be doing. But yeah, part of it also would make me so proud. I'm on, you know, and be like, oh, wow, he thinks what I do is actually worth doing.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So it's like, fuck, there's two sides to that coin.
Yeah.
I think I would be pretty happy with Sammy being a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd be super stoked.
Pass down the torch.
So then that's where it comes to back to then just talking to some random kid. And going back to some random kid and then just inspiring them to want to pursue that.
Yeah. It takes a certain type of person to run your own business. And that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Right.
And not everybody has that in them.
No.
There's a lot of people who want to just be an artist.
Yes.
But there's a business side to being an artist also that is a very different aspect of the job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's the two kind of like the fine artists, right? You have the fine artist that makes money while he's alive and the fine artist that gets discovered later after they're dead. And they're like, wow, they had such a crazy, passionate life for art, but their life was miserable.
Yeah.
They were just fucking poor and just fucking, you know, just doing the worst, you know? Yeah. But then later, you know, their life gets romanticized by some fucking art critic that finds their work and is like, I'm gonna fucking make money off
of
this shit.
I just dug up genius.
Yeah, dug up genius, dude. Make money off of this fucking dead artist that never made any money when they were alive, you know? But I don't know. I'm still in the fence about going to this thing or not.
Do you know the details about it? Is it like what I was saying before? Is it like a convention style with a booth and there's a bunch of other businesses there?
I don't know.
Because that's what I always imagine career day as. Like I've heard of other people going to things like that. And then I was saying before, like the episode of The Office, they had the career day where they had their booth.
Yeah.
Which is a hilarious episode.
I don't know. I think I try to, it would be nice, you know, in a way of like, you go do something like this and then like 10 years go by and some young man or young ladies will like, hey man, that one time, that conversation you gave me really inspired me. And I've been tattooing for 10 years now and
yeah,
blah, worked out. Thanks. I mean,
that's cool.
Then you're like, oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
You know, made a difference. Gave somebody a little bit of crumb and they turned it into fucking whole tree of shit.
Yep.
Be great.
Super dope.
I don't know. I'm still gatekeeping.
And then there could be the kid like, oh man, you know what? You talked me into tattooing. Now I'm poor. I know. My girlfriend left me because I'm not making any money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to show you how to cook, but I'm leaving out two ingredients.
Yeah.
You got to figure that shit out.
Figure the rest out, man. And man, the other thing I wanted to bring up is something that I saw, some more detail about it. And it's, this tattoo machine that gives tattoos to people, and it's in Austin currently, and it's made by this company called Black Dot, and it's basically a machine that you strap a human down and that thing gives them a tattoo. So
it's like a tat CNC machine.
It's like a tat CNC machine.
That's scary.
It is scary.
Right? It is wild.
Because it's like,
so from their website, it says the world's first automatic tattooing device, fast and safe, offering less discomfort and more possibilities. It enables unprecedented detail and precision, and Black Dot brings the ancient art of tattoo into the modern era with the world's first fully automated, scalable tattooing platform. Capabilities beyond the human hand.
I see. I don't believe that.
I don't believe that one bit fucking bit. Uh-uh. That's a big statement.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's a huge statement.
Yeah. Capabilities beyond the human hand
is limiting.
If it's beyond the human hand, it probably shouldn't be tattooed. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
So unless there's some like coding built into it, which I can't imagine, every arm is going to be different. And all we've seen is people who put their forearms into it, right?
Yeah.
Every arm is a different size, different shape, have different roundnesses to it. Right.
Yeah.
Your human hand is going to follow the curve of that
and do those things. Yeah.
That CNC from, I mean, at least how I imagine it, is just going straight up and down.
Just going.
And then when it goes to like the side of the arm, it's not going to curve.
No,
it's going to go still straight up and down.
I think it is. I think that's, I mean, there's a few pictures of the machine online.
It's curving.
I haven't seen a video of it fully, but it's not curving in the videos that I've seen. The ones that I saw, it did not curve. So what it says is a wide grayscale range and dots that roughly the diameter of a human hair. So it's doing like stippling pretty much. And it says that it meets quality and consistency standards beyond expectation. Patented advanced mapping and motion systems unlock new possibilities for design and expression. Wow, they make it sound sexy.
Okay.
It's marketing.
Now, this is where it got interesting. On the way that they're booking for tattoos, it's they have a website and it's still like very limited. And you can pick from the designs that they have up on their website. It says the size. Now, there's this one design on it that it's like, if you remember the Smashing Pumpkins album, the melancholy and the infinite sadness, mm-hmm. you know, that like kind of angelic looking Renaissance thing coming out of a star. Mm-hmm. So they have that. They consider it large and it's 2 inches by 1.9 inches.
So that right there tells me that the machine can't curve and it's doing these small images to stay as flat as possible.
And then when you think about it's 2 inches by 1.9 inches, dude, this design has hands. It's has a face. It's like, we're talking about like this big.
Very small. Yeah.
This is so tiny.
So it's not even tattooing things that are going to like really last.
Right. But guess what? This thing is a whopping $3,000 for that design.
Oh.
And there's others.
All right.
And this one blew my mind. This one is the Dawn to Dusk Pink and Twilight to Starlight Blue album cover art. For a medium-sized tattoo, it's $5,100.
And what is their medium-sized dimension?
Pretty much an inch and a half by an inch and a half.
Dude. Oh, man. Listen, if you got the money to spend for it, you do what you please with your money.
Bro.
I mean.
An inch and a half. Is that like pretty much like a silver dollar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like the size of a silver dollar.
Which, look, to be able to get the detail that small because of a machine, that's cool, but that doesn't negate the fact that your tattoo is going to heal with your body and age with your body.
Just like a tattoo.
Just like a regular hand done tattoo.
Yes.
It's not going to change.
Yeah, the machine doesn't know the rules of like what makes a good tattoo. It's just trying to reproduce something onto the skin.
And it's just getting programmed.
Yeah. So, and on top of that, you know, the machine, I believe the machine is into kind of knowing how to register different parts of skin, you know, different areas and sections of skin, you know, that might get thinner, rougher, more stretchy, you know, softer, denser. Like there's so many variables.
From what I've seen so far is that it's, they're only doing forearms.
Yeah, of course. Cause it's like when someone lays their forearm down, it's usually one of the most like the flattest and the most like already taut,
yeah,
tight areas of the body that it's easy for the machine.
So the machine is about 5 feet tall, you know, so it's a pretty big machine. Right. And from the video that I saw, this is already kind of happening and is open already in Austin. And for example, if you're a tattoo artist, you can make designs for this machine and then you get a percentage of the proceeds per tattoo. You get pretty much just paid for the art.
Get like royalties.
You get some royalties, yeah, for your tattoo design.
I don't want to contribute to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
How long do you think till, you know, we were talking about how many people have gotten involved in tattooing that don't really care about it. They're just like, oh man, that's a great opportunity to make some money.
It's been most of it lately.
A lot of people just enter like, oh, I don't even care. Just it's, yeah, looks
I don't
like
even care anymore.
Looks like those margins are good. Yeah. Yeah. Are you know, before you see a shop that is literally two front desk people and then three of these machines lined up.
It's like running a tanning salon.
Yes, exactly. You just literally have just one person running the front, blah, 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 minimally trained.
Yeah. You know,
minimally trained.
Yeah, what do they got to know? You got to press the button. You know, this is
put it on the computer.
It's like the guys doing the photography shoots at Sears or whatever. Right?
Yeah.
Click the picture. Oh, you want this template? You want this template?
And like, all right, you strap up, blah, blah, blah. Give you a little thing. They give you a little bag of aftercare at the end and sayonara.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so lame.
It sounds so lame.
But you know what? It's people are making money off of it. That's all they care about.
That's all they care about.
I know, man. But you know what? It's like the same thing. It's like when you know, ladies or men, you know, when you go to your hairstylist or your barber, like I feel like more than half of that is just the human interaction.
It's scary to think about it. There's so many logistics about it that I'm like, oh yeah, they'll just put somebody in the front that's super nice and bubbly. And he's like, yeah, so exciting. Just sell you that, you know, and then the machine does it.
I'm not scared. I still got a future.
So the thing is, what is scary is that if this takes off, it's only going to get better and the designs are going to get bigger. The designs are going to get.
And then look at what we have with AI generated,
right?
What it learned from our artwork.
Just from a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be able to create its own back pieces. Like it was.
The machines, like the technology for the machines will get better. So they will go around curves of the body.
Yeah.
Before you know it, people getting big back pieces.
Oh yeah. I mean, it clearly still has, you know, limitations and this probably costs a bunch of money to create and to do everything they have. So directly on their page, they have a button if you want to invest into this, which is wild. And they consider it says a multi-billion-dollar opportunity. The global tattoo market is highly lucrative and the industry is undergoing unprecedented growth and rapid transformation.
Oh yeah.
Black Dot is uniquely capable of satisfying the oversized demand for smaller detailed tattoos.
I love it when you talk to me in sales pitch.
Moreover, our focus on predictability, atmosphere, hygiene, and minimizing discomfort enables us to address a large, hesitant population segment that can now be offered greater peace of mind with Black Dot technology.
So I want to ask you this.
What episode of Black Mirror am I? Yeah.
You just saw this for the first time today. Right.
Yeah.
I saw this maybe a couple of weeks ago, but I haven't seen it since then. Mm-hmm. How did you find out about it?
I just saw a video on Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering, like, the Magic Ink.
Yeah.
That was blowing up everybody's feed for like a good 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
Everybody was talking about it.
That thing died fast.
No,
I don't hear anyone saying anything about that now.
Well, like anything, it's kind of like,
I love when this shit happens.
It's not meant for, at least I think that's not meant for the general tattoo population. Is meant to reach people that wouldn't get a normal tattoo. You know, I feel like, you know, they tried to kind of say like, oh, there's new ways to implement this into your work. But I don't think that's the end goal. I feel like that's just like a little way to get us to start talking about it. But I think the end goal is to try to reach a market of a person that wants to get a tattoo, but they want to have the option of removing it if they need to themselves. Like, oh, I'll just put the cancer stick on me real quick. Make it disappear.
Yeah,
right. You know? But
my point here was like, is it something that they put out there in the tattoo world? Tattoo artist heard about it and was like, nah, fuck this. We're not supporting this at all. And
yeah,
it just crashes and burns.
Well, in this case with this machine, I feel like it's like, how many times, you know, does somebody go into a shop and they say they want to get a tattoo and the tattoo artist says, that's too small.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just go to the machine that'll do it by 1 inch and puts in everything I want in it.
Right. But a lot of the business model of this is depending on artists submitting artwork for it.
Yeah.
So if artists aren't going to support it and not submit work,
well,
it's going to be reliant on the few people who will. It might overload them and there might not be too many options.
You know who's going to be willing to do it? Graphic designers. That's all they do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just commissioned graphic designers.
Yeah.
And they'll do it for a lot less.
Yeah.
You know, you get some good graphic designers, even just like
probably some guys on Fiverr over in like Pakistan or something like that.
They'll be crushing it, dude.
Oh man.
Even just like there's
they'll be graphic designing
such huge archives of like black work designs, you know, like you've seen those books where there's just collections of just like old, like lithographs and just images that if you fed a machine, all that information with a little bit of AI, and some information from tattooing, like, oh, I can come up with like 30 different versions of these things.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And I feel like
that's crazy.
Yeah. I guess I didn't think about that at first.
Yeah. That's where then the tattooer turns more into the machine. And then the artist is just an artist.
Yeah. Well,
scary time.
I guess all we can do is wait and see.
Wait and see. But like Gabe said, I feel like people will always love the traditional way of experiencing
getting
a tattoo.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not against technology. I like technology. I've always been kind of like a sci-fi geek.
Unless it's a dildo that shaped tattoo machine.
Yeah, you know what? You guys know for a fact that if I got to go on vacation and I want to carry less,
borrowing that.
The rotary pen is, I'm borrowing that. And you guys are kind enough to let me borrow one. But I mean, if you can tattoo, you can tattoo with anything.
You know the rule though, Gabe, right? If you borrow something once, then that's cool. Let's just borrow it. If you have to borrow something twice, then you just got to buy your own.
Yeah, but that's why I ask different people. You know, end of the day, like, you know, loyal to the coil. Doesn't really matter, you know. If you can tattoo and the end product is like a sick ass tattoo, then you did your job.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. What were you saying before? I'm just like trying to go back, not trying to get too far on the mixed up in the conversation. What was the initial question?
About the tattoo machine? The fake tattoo machine? Or tattoo machine person? What is it? It's like, it's a robot. The robot machine? Because it's like, it's a tattoo machine machine. That's what it is, dude. It's a machine.
It'd be funny.
It's crazy. But
Are we done with this topic?
Yeah.
If you remember a few weeks back, we had Ed from Tattoo Armor on the podcast, and he was able to hook us up with a discount code for our followers. So Tattoo Armor is literally the best way to wrap your client. I've been using it. Matt's been using it, and it's just awesome. There's no mess. There's no glue, and it's just super comfortable. I hope you can try it for yourself and just go on to Tattoo Armor and use the code HONESTTATTOOER for 20% off your order.
Before we go into the critiques, I had one other discussion that I wanted to go over. I came across a video on my Instagram, and it was this girl who's only been tattooing for 2 years. And she showed a picture of a fine line tattoo that a shop in her neighborhood did. And she showed the fresh and the healed version of this tattoo. Mm-hmm. And the fresh one looked pretty good. It was small, dainty. I don't even know what the design was, but it was tiny. And then the healed one was all blobbed out, blown out, you know, the lines running into each other. And then she was saying, like, her message was great. She was saying, like, don't fall into this trap. These types of tattoos don't look that great when they're healed. You know, ask for healed photos of from the tattoo artist that you're trying to get tattooed from.
Yeah.
And like, she had a really good message, but the way that she delivered it was so cocky. And the reason why I say this is because then she showed pictures of a tattoo that she did fresh and healed. Mm-hmm. And it was a similar type of design, dainty. And she was like, look, I could do it like this. And this is how I do it. And like, I know how to do it. Meanwhile, she's only been tattooing for 2 years. She never said how long the time frame was between the first one and how long it was between hers.
Yeah.
So all I said was like, I agree with your message, but I disagree with your delivery. And one, like always, every time that something I post, I'm like, everybody's like,
And you just go, what?
But you toss the match. Slow motion.
So I just wanted to bring it up into conversation. Like, what do you guys think about artists who have the right idea and they have like their intentions are right in trying to educate the clientele, but they do it in an egotistical way?
Oh man, I hate that.
So do I.
I hate that. Yeah, I feel like, you know, most people, they walk into a shop with like good intentions. They're excited. And, you know, as soon as you knock down their idea, it's all about the delivery. There's ways to say no without even using the word no. So I think it's really smart to just learn to explain things in a way where you don't sound condescending to people, where you don't make them sound like, oh, you're an idiot that you went to this fucking thing or that you want this tattoo, et cetera. Just guide them, guide them in the right direction. And even if you do it, especially in social media, I mean, I know I'm not one to talk. Sometimes I say crazy shit, but if you're going to address people, try to at least enlighten them and give them, you know, the right way to approach what they want to get, so they get something that's good and valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my problem with it was that, like, I feel like there's a way to tell someone that what they did could have been better without saying, I could do it better.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where I had the issue.
Yeah.
Especially someone who doesn't have the time to know that their stuff is going to look any different than when that did.
That's very true. I think that makes a huge difference because, you know, you're 5 years into it. You don't know what you're worth.
She's 2 years.
2 years into it. 2 years into it. Even less. 2 years into it, you still don't know. You haven't seen
it. Here's my logic. She's 2 years into tattooing. I guarantee that tattoo is not 2 years old.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a year, if that.
If that.
So.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, I've seen tattoos that I did 10 years ago that I liked and some that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, I've learned. You know, I've learned since then. And times that I'm like, oh, that was a good choice. And some choices that I made back in the day, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have put that orange there. Shouldn't have put that yellow there. That wasn't necessary. Or like,
you know now.
Yeah, I know better. I know better. But it took looking at those tattoos. Because honestly, I didn't learn some of those things until I saw those tattoos.
Yeah.
5-6 years later. And you're like, oh shit.
No, that didn't work.
That didn't work at all. That's not the thing. That's the thing.
Not the thing right there.
I think people confuse some of the things that we say with we're just salty that the tattooers now are learning quicker. And they're better, faster than we were.
I love that.
Yeah, so do I. I think that's great.
That's great.
Check this out. We don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, I think it's not
hurting my feelings that you're learning at an increased rate.
You know what's crazy? I think some tattooers are learning at an increased rate how to tattoo, where they're actually slower at learning and how to become successful tattooers. Yeah. Because even though they're advanced artistically, their skills with people are worse. Their skills on marketing themselves are worse. Their skill on building, very few people are very good at building relationships and building communities.
Yeah.
You know, and building that sense of like, oh man, I got this huge group of people that
we made connections.
Yeah. I mean, that's not for everybody, but I would say that the majority are not successful at it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of young tattooers nowadays that have done amazing for themselves and they're killing it, doing good tattoos and have built like great online following and communities, almost like, you know, like the kids that started playing video games early on and they've have huge followings of people that just love to watch and play video games. Yeah. But I think most tattooers don't have those skills and they're just more naturally kind of like see the whole process of tattooing in a very different way. They see it so much more of like a, I'm making my art and this is my product. You bought it, bye.
Yeah.
And it ends there. You know, they forget that it's so much more of like a ritualistic thing and that you're having that human connection and all of these things. And I don't know.
I think that a lot of it has to do with the work from home mentality also.
Yeah.
There's a lot, I see a lot of people complaining online about how, like, the people who want to go back to the office are the people who are wrong in that situation.
Insane.
I'm like, don't you want to talk to somebody other than your cat?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Oh man, I'm much more productive when I'm around peers.
Here's a perfect example.
Yeah.
So I always work my schedule around whatever Nicole has to do.
Mm-hmm.
And something came up for a few weeks from now where she asked me something about moving a Friday appointment to a Monday. And I was like, man, I don't want to come here on a Monday when no one's here.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
I don't want
to. Yeah, I bet you about the same thing.
Yeah. I'm
like, who else is in that day? Wait, it's only me? Oh,
yeah, I don't want to do that.
That sucks.
And I guarantee that the quality of work that I would do on a Monday when no one else is around would be slightly less than on a Friday when the shop is packed with when people are just kind of bantering. And
different environment.
Yeah.
I had a quick meeting with a friend of mine in Florida while I was down in Miami, and we were talking about work, and I was like, yeah, man. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, it just feels like people are less eager to work like they were in the past. And he said, like, yeah. And he works in real estate, and he's like, I had an assistant, and I paid him really well, and they told me that they wanted to work partly from home. And he's like, all right, you can work these many hours from the office, and you can work this many hours from home. Then, you know, months go by, and then she's like, I want to work more from home. And he's like, wait. Like, no, I need you at least these many hours in the office. She's like, why? I can do the same job. And he's like, well, when you're at home, if your kid's crying, that's going to take priority over what I'm asking you to do, because it's what's in front of you and the moment. You know, if your kid's like, hey, I want you to make me something to eat, you know, you're going to put that as a priority in the moment other than get the work that I need done. And he's like, I don't want to be a dick boss, but I just want to be fair. You know, I pay you fairly. I need your attention just as fairly in when I need it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so well put, because I think that that's a huge thing. Like, working from home sounds great, but you're more likely to kind of work a little, like you're saying, like you're not going to work as
not as good.
It's, some of the comments from the people is like, oh, I love working at home. I can go to the grocery store. I can
We get why you like it. You know.
It sounds like it's work.
Obvious.
Yeah, we get it, because it's not like work when you're supposed to be like in work mode.
But then people are like, oh, well, the statistics show that the productivity of work from home is actually greater than being in the
office. I think it's bullshit.
Who's making these fucking...
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But that's what they're
thinking. No, I know, but everyone will pull up something like that for sure. Always.
For sure.
But I'm always like, yeah, who fucking... Are those numbers legit? Like, who is this society of scientists?
I mean, we've talked to artists here on the podcast that have just themselves in a tattoo shop, and they're hurting. They're like, they're struggling with being creative, getting critiques from anybody, like their work is suffering, and it's because they're alone.
Oh yeah.
Obviously it makes a big difference.
Yeah. They're like, what do you think about, oh, it's just me here. Oh, it's just me in here. Oh, never mind.
Talk to yourself. Is it a good idea? Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. For
you
real.
Like the placement of this stencil right here on the calf? Yeah. It looks straight to me. Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah. You're the only person you have to ask is your client, who has no idea.
He has no idea. He's just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks good.
You think it looks good?
Yes. And that's not the way, man. It's not the way.
Oh, man.
I was reading over the comments from the latest post, which, you know, while I was on vacation, I disconnected a lot from looking at anything. Mm. But really, really funny, shout out to New York Punisher. Cause he put this one thing about
he's ready to fight.
I know, he's just ready. Keyboard warrior, but real life warrior.
Was he on Ink Master?
No.
Okay.
but he said something that was good. You know, when the guy's like, could you imagine a samurai, something like, I just need something to cut, bro. I don't need to know how this gets made.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody responded. It was like, what? You're making the comparison of a samurai sword to a coil machine? Like, get real.
Yeah, I know.
But I love the analogy coming from, shout out New York Punisher. That was
kind of tight. I thought that was a good analogy because it was like, yeah, to some people, it could just be like, oh, you just use that to cut. But to the samurais, it means so much more.
Right. There's like a soul behind the sword.
Exactly. There's it's so insane. Much more there.
Man, speaking of those guys, the Japanese blacksmiths, people think that the tattoo artist has an apprenticeship that's rough. Those guys have it rough. They spend lifetimes working for free, slaving, trying to make the perfect sword.
Just to learn the craft.
And they don't get paid shit.
They don't get paid anything. Nothing. Yeah. It's like, oh, you want to do this?
Yeah.
You really do? All right. Yeah.
What? That poor sword making apprentice isn't even getting a minimum wage.
Oh, man. It's wild.
This is abuse.
But I feel like there's a lot of crap like that where it's like, you have to do it like that.
You pay your dues with time. Like, nobody's going to pay you, man. Like, what are you crazy?
You crazy.
Like, you're getting the payment is knowledge, you guys. What is it about this that you're not understanding? And then you use that knowledge to make money or not make money. That all depends on how you use that.
Man,
but I feel like it's like,
overall, there was just more honor and more pride in the craft that you chose to take. You're like, I'm like, it's crazy craft, but I'm going to do it. And there was just such like more love into the craft of things. Now it's just about the final result, the final product. That's it. Not everything they took away or that took to make it. But I think we should go right into the episode of the day, which is all about a tattoo critique.
Tattoo critique.
All right.
So.
Your brave souls.
Yeah.
Contribute. Oh,
now they opened up on here.
All right, so
the tattoo critiques that we have today come from, I believe both of them are our Patreon supporters. I think. One of them might be, one of them might not be. I know one of them definitely is. We'll start with that one first. But since we're on the topic, these submissions came from a Patreon supporter who helped support the show. Her name is Clover Ann O'Connor. I think she recently joined maybe a few weeks ago. And if you want to be like Clover Ann and help support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/honesttattooer and select a tier that's appropriate for you. And we take submissions from everybody, but we definitely prioritize our Patreon supporters over everybody else when it comes to these critiques. So Clover Ann sent over a couple of pictures that we're going to discuss right now. And let's talk with the first one that I sent you guys, this rose and
the skull. Rose and skulls.
What do you guys think of this?
So off the rip, like, there's things about this tattoo that I like. There's really nice shading on the petals of the flower. The shading looks solid. The color looks solid. And those things immediately jump at me. But I think that when someone wants to submit their work, they want to know, how can this be better? I don't think you want me to just tell you all the things I like about it. So I'm going to go straight to that. And on the things that I think you could have done to make this tattoo better. Off the rip, just the line weight of this tattoo. The line weight on the leaves feels too light.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
It feels too light. It looks like you either did kind of like a fine line and then went back on the outside of the rose petal and kind of boldened that line. But it looks almost like it was done with like the same liner.
Yeah. Double lined.
Like it was like a double line. Like there was only one liner set up and then came back on the outside of that and did a double line just because it doesn't look like a one pass line. It looks like a built up line.
I don't know, man. I'm zoomed in pretty far right now. I don't see that.
Okay. So yeah, all right. I think, it might be two different line widths, but
the only reason I say that is because, like, you see in the points of, look at the outside perimeter line. And when you see where the points meet,
It gets a little tiny, right?
He gets really tiny.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Where if you use just one bold line, that would go bold all the way around that point.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible because I've done this, and I don't know if this is true for her case, but I've made a point like that with a thicker line and mm-hmm. then not like the fact that with that big outline, that point is rounded.
Yeah.
So I'll come in with a tight three and sharpen that corner up.
Mm.
So it's possible.
I share the same sentiments about doing a bolder line on the leaves, at least because the leaves need to show up. They're just like too flimsy.
Yeah.
And I guess if I really want to like nitpick at this, I just feel it can be a lot cleaner. You know, there's areas that if I zoom in onto the tattoo, I see that like,
there's still holidays.
There's holidays, yeah, and there's also patchy. Like it's a little patchy. It could be more solid and more well saturated, and some things don't like color or shade
to the line.
To the line.
That's my biggest gripe with this tattoo.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Like a lot of the blends too. Like you go from like dark to light to like a blend into a red, but. You know, your black is not touching completely cleanly, like the line where it's starting from.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I like it.
I like the shape of the tattoo.
Yeah, there's room for improvement for sure with anything. But, you're on the right path.
I almost wish, I'm assuming that, yeah, I kind of wish that there was a little something to the left of the, like the top left corner. See, like... The tattoo falls up the back of the calf, but there's empty spot in the front.
Yeah, it does flow. It does flow nicely, like with the shape of the leg, but it is missing something right
in the
there.
Front.
Yeah,
but overall, though, it's not a bad tattoo. I like the blends. It's a good shape.
Yes,
I think it's cool.
Yeah, overall, not a bad tattoo. Yeah. Good shape, good contrast. It's just smaller technical details that will just make you better as a tattooer once you're aware of them. I think that, you know, after you hear this critique, whoever submitted this, you'll kind of notice them right away and
Clover
hopefully right. something that you can like, you know, keep that in your arsenal and every time you do something.
So I think the one thing that I dislike about this tattoo is how washed out the red looks.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's just a saturation problem, if she's like diluting it to try to get these blends. Or it's just falling out. I don't think it's falling out though.
No, I don't think it's falling out.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of whipped and.
Like even where the color starts on the, where it should be touching the line, mm-hmm. like even that is not solid, right?
Yeah. I think it's a matter of like kind of just whip shading off the line and not just packing it
not
in.
Packing it
yeah.
First.
Not packing right. it in first.
You know, what's going to give me nightmares about this tattoo? No, I'm just kidding. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm not going to take anything away from it.
Now, you and the person wearing this tattoo should be proud of it.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing us.
Yeah. And nothing that we mentioned can't be just like, hey, can I touch that up real quick?
Yeah.
And nothing that we mentioned is going to be obvious to anybody other than a tattooer.
Correct. For sure.
All right, let's move on to the...
I think we were pretty kind about that.
The butterfly lady head?
The butterfly lady head.
If only I could like translate into words what my mind is saying about when I look at my own work and the insults that are going on there. You know, so I think we're being pretty kind.
I like the quality of this tattoo, like in certain areas. And then overall, it's like, it's really clean and nice in some parts, and then in parts it doesn't have that same cleanliness. So it's like, it makes it so visually inconsistent because like the hair on the top and that kind of shine like looks really nice.
Yeah, I really like that. You know what? I feel like there needs more of a contrast between the value of the hair and the value of the inner cells of that butterfly wing.
Yeah.
That gets a little confusing. So the hair... In my opinion,
the butterfly wing needed a little more contrast.
More contrast.
Yeah. Just the wing
to pop
out
a
hair contrast.
Correct. But I like it. I know, you know, just from like trying this technique, I know it's something hard. It requires a lot of finesse and like hand control to do basically the stippling, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not an easy technique to pull off, but you know, like, this is pretty cool. It just, to me, it just, you know, this is like a personal thing. I know some of you, I know you agree, you guys can agree. It just needs a little more contrast where needed.
Needs more contrast. And same thing as before from the last tattoo, just the overall cleanliness of always making sure that your shading is going straight to the line, that you're not leaving that tiny little bit of like halos, and that when something is going to be dark, that it is dark.
Yeah.
Just make sure that it's nice and solid.
Correct.
The two things that bug me about this one is that flap of hair going in front, the one line just stops. And then like the bottom portion of that hair just kind of blends into another chunk.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, you know what's crazy? That part doesn't bother me too much if it was fully shaded off of that part that stops.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know where that line stops? I feel like
there should have been more black.
More black. Yeah. Right there.
Yeah. So at least there's something there to finish that.
Yes. Definitely more black there to kind of just finish that. And
then so the lips.
But you know what?
There needs to be an outline. Like at least bugging me. At least in the space separating the upper lip and the bottom lip.
Oh yeah, that thing's gone.
That's gone.
It's already gone. And it's gonna look even more faded. Like just create the bottom lip line.
Either the top of that bottom lip needed a line or more shading off the bottom of the top lip going up.
Yeah. Something there.
Something. But
I used to do
it's nice.
You know how the nose of this tattoo, like the nostril line, I used to do that kind of how they attempted to do it, where like nice soft shading. And then I did it like that. And then I would see it come back healed. And I'm like, oh shit, that would look better if there was just a line there.
Just do a line.
And it's like, just do a line. Even if you use like a wash to do that line, cause you don't want it to be too powerful.
Mm-hmm. Just do the line.
But just do the line.
Yeah.
It'll just look cleaner and more solid. And it would give that nose immediate structure.
Yep.
Especially since you're using lines in other places. Unless you were doing a fully realistic looking tattoo, right. I wouldn't say don't do a line, but you're already using lines in so many parts here that it wouldn't have taken away from it. Just doing the line on the nostril and another line on that lip.
Yep.
For sure.
I really enjoy that little tiny S curve showing the shoulder.
So yes.
You could tell that she's looking over her shoulder behind her back.
Yes. I like
that subtle.
It's minimal. It's very nice.
It works. I like that. Because otherwise you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know what direction she's looking in.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
overall,
I still added a little bit of some soft shading off that shoulder though.
Okay. I don't think it needs it, but okay.
Just like, I mean, like just redden the skin a little bit. Just a little. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right, John?
Just a little.
A little.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, let's move on to these flowers and branches on the shoulder.
Aha. The old, I want cherry blossoms along my collarbone.
You confused the hell out of John with the angle of this photo.
Yes. I couldn't for a bit. It took me, I was like, what am I seeing? And I was like, what? What body part? And then I'm like, as soon as I turned my phone to the side, I was like, oh, that's a shoulder. I don't know what I thought it was, but I was like, dude, I don't know what the hell I'm looking at here. So out of all three tattoos, this is the one that I'm not into. The quality of the flowers, they kind of lose their, they don't look graceful. You know, they look a little bit kind of,
yeah, I would have, with a tattoo like this, there's so much good reference out there with like cherry blossom structure, how to draw it, you know, how to really like achieve like a nice look. And this feels too like, you know, like just like made up, too much amateur.
Man, you know what this reminds me of? You know what the shape of these flowers remind me of? You know when you go to a restaurant and they give you the dollop of soft butter?
A dollop of soft butter.
Yeah.
It's like, whoosh. Yeah, it's like the shapes of the flowers aren't consistent throughout, and neither does do the size of the blossoms stay kind of consistent throughout. Like they it's okay to have some variation, but some of these are way too off. And something that is
It could have just been drawn better.
Yeah. It's just, it could have been drawn better. Just
so you know,
a nice reference.
Here's what I think about that. I feel like varying the size of the flower is okay as it gets further out towards the tip of the branch.
Right. Just like it would grow in a real branch.
Right. But you have to remember, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm talking out of turn here. I feel like at least the way that I would have done this is as it gets further up towards the tip of the branch. You know what? I'm not even going to say it because I feel this is a personal thing. I'll say it anyway.
This is just a personal thing.
I would do as it gets further up to the tip of the branch, make them smaller in the sense of less of a bloom. Like each one would be closed more. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I don't know if that's the way that it would really work.
That's how it works.
It is. That is.
That's how it works.
You wouldn't have, I mean, you would. You would have a full bloom at the tip of a branch. But I don't know. I feel like it looks better.
But you would have, you can have a full bloom on the tip of a branch, but the other flowers around it would also be in bloom. You might have like a few buds, you know, around it, but they usually they're blooming together.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I just confused the shit out of a whole bunch of people. Sorry. I'm sorry.
So yeah, like the structure of the branch needed just a little more research because there's just a lot of like a lot of those like little like wispy lines just to protrude there and made up like leaf structures.
Oh shit. I just realized that this is coming out of her skin. Look out on her arm.
I see it now. It's coming out of her skin, dude.
That was another thing I was going to comment.
Holy smokes.
I don't like that start. But hey, I mean, you know, the thing is yeah, from far, it looks like a nice tattoo. But
all right, so here's what I think should be done here. The leaves that don't have outlines need an outline.
They need one.
They need an outline. I would leave no skin tone at all in the branch itself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do light flowers, let the only skin tone being shown in the flowers. So you have that contrast between the branch and the flowers.
Yeah, like the tip of the branch feels better because it has that better contrast.
All black, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a lot of this tattoo in 5 years is going to be hard to see.
For sure. Some of the cherry blossoms that have no outlines and they're just clearly just shaded. They just, oh man, they just need some structure.
I get what she was attempting.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I think if, you know, you were going to do these very, very light flowers, then you should have done dark petals to kind of surround these flowers and push the flowers forward and darker branches.
Yeah.
Always try to pick where the negative space of the tattoo is going to be. What's going to be your brightest? What's going to be your lightest? Because at times here, like what's supposed to be dark, it's light and vice versa.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. A little more contrast, clean up some of those edges. Contrast. Again, like this is also something that could be fixed up and.
Yeah.
And last, we have a submission from, I don't know who this is. Who's this?
Hold on. I got to pull up the email. His name is Sebastian Hofinger. So he wrote us a little something. This year marks my 10th official year as a tattooer. He wrote a whole thing, but he's been tattooing 10 years.
Oh, shit. He's been doing it for a minute.
So, Sebastian, if you're watching, I'm assuming you are, it says in your email that you sent a few pictures, but only one of them came up. So I don't know if that's an error on your part or since they didn't come through, but we're just going to talk about the Gladiator Woman because that's all that we got.
I love the placement.
The placement is cool. I wish the...
It's really, really close to some.
Oh, man. It's creating such, like, tension. Like, she's about to be like...
She's sniffing that octopus.
She's sniffing that octopus. She's like,
I'm
about to...
that's a Medusa.
Kiss that petal right there. Whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Petal.
You're probably right.
You think it's a Medusa?
Yeah. I think he's right.
But...
You know what?
I think it's pretty cool.
That didn't bother me until you said something, so...
Yeah, but that's how we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know how we are when it comes to like.
Like, if this is one of those situations where I would have been with my homie right there at this tattoo shop. I would have like, hey, bro, I think you should place that thing up slightly higher. Dude.
Yep.
And that's it.
I would have been like,
bring it
like,
up and forward, dude. Yeah. Up and forward.
Let the nose kind of fall into that same corner crevice, like that same shape.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just bring it up forward a little bit. The hand would be in a better spot down there.
Correct.
And like that that line that is where like the hand is disappearing to, it doesn't match the shape of the next object, that negative space that the Medusa head or snakes.
Yeah.
So then he just creates this kind of like triangle shape there of nothing.
Yeah, just let that hand go behind the Medusa.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't know what was done first, but.
Or even if you did a line, you could have done maybe one of like the ornamental things you do kind of to kind of finish off an area.
Yeah.
But it would have looked better if it matched the shape there.
Yep.
But that could have been solved by just moving the whole tattoo just further up and forward a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that something small that after you place a tattoo, sometimes you draw something on paper and then after you place it, you're like, oh, okay, maybe I should make like the Trojan helmet kind of mane or hawk or mohawk type of thing that could have fit the shape of that leg a little bit.
To me, it looks like they either him, the artist, or the client had some sort of restriction in their mind that this is the top of my calf. The tattoo's got to stop right there.
Maybe.
Right. Like I think you're right. I think if the tattoo was a little bit higher and that furry part of the helmet went up further towards
just a tiny bit.
Yeah. It would have looked a lot nicer.
I don't think it's that even that much more, just like a couple lines just to bring it up a little bit more.
You know what it reminds me of? You know how like sometimes when people are drawing on a sheet of paper and they don't nail their composition right.
Yeah.
And like everything is drawn a little bit too close to the edge. So to compensate for that, they squish the bottom part of their drawing so that it all fits on the paper.
All fits.
That's what this feels like to me.
Yeah. It feels, that's why it's so important to draw and really keep in mind that this is in a 3D form. It's not like a flat piece of paper most of the time. Very rarely do you get a tattoo that just fits perfectly on like a flat piece of paper.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you're not a black dot tattoo machine that needs a fucking flat area.
But my point is that there is no edge to a piece of paper on this design. Like he has a whole upper leg to allow the tattoo to fall into.
Yes.
So don't feel like you have, just because that's where the calf ends, you can't go into the upper part of the leg.
Just a little bit for sure. They would have made this flow so much nicer and flow better. Overall though, like I really like, you know, how the hair flows all the way at the bottom.
Yeah.
And
overall, I like it too.
Yeah. Overall, it's a nice design.
It just needs to like, you know, just some cleaning up here and there. The black shading could be cleaner and better, a little smoother.
Yeah, blacker.
Blacker, richer in some areas, especially like underneath the jaw there, yeah. Fading into the
back part of the hair.
Correct. Yeah. You know, but.
Which I think is a part that's interesting is that, like that big kind of like part of hair, I think it, part of my brain wants to think that it's behind, like on the left side of the face. And then when you look at it, you're like, oh, that's actually in front of the face.
Yeah. It's going in front of her neck.
It's going in front of her neck. Yeah. But my brain wants it to be on the other side.
Yep. I feel the same.
Or like if that was just way darker to make it seem like it's on the other side, I think it would look even cooler. Something minimal, but those are the little things that I think make a tattoo kind of hit. And, even little things like you have this dagger that looks really cool and it's going up. And then part as it goes up, there's that part where like it meets the hair and there's like that whip shade there that is not flush with the knife.
Okay, I see what you're talking about.
And I feel like even that would bring that knife forward.
Yep.
It'd just bring it forward. If you just whip that right up against it, you bring that knife forward a little bit more, you're creating that edge already. And even if you had a little wink, like, you know, a little wiggle on your line, you could get rid of that by just shading solid against it.
I think a big thing with this particular style of tattooing that a lot of people fail on is the use of solid fields of black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a lot of this could just be a big chunk of black and it would work perfect. Like that hair that you're talking about that's mm-hmm. not shaded up, that could just be a field of black. Maybe like a couple of strands of negative space to show that it's like there's highlight of hair there.
Yeah.
But that could be black and it'll be fine. And like the same thing with a lot of the fluff on top of the helmet. I feel like a lot of that could be a lot more.
Oh, black. Yeah. That could be black. A lot of areas could be black and just solid.
Just solid black. Yeah. It really punches up the contrast and it'll make this thing stand out so much more.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as far as like your line work looks nice, it looks bold, it looks right.
Yeah.
Is in
bold in the right places.
And the too. Shading of the face looks really nice. I really like it.
Yeah.
It's just other areas where you start looking around, you're like, okay, how could that be a little bit tighter, a little bit sharper?
Yeah.
But overall, nice yeah. tattoo, man.
I would love to know the reason why the helmet, the curve of the helmet, the line work from the front starts off strong and then it just fades out to no line at all.
Yeah.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to know the reason behind that. But
okay.
Artistic choice. Probably artistic choice.
Thanks for the submission.
But even like that part, like that back part of the helmet, if that was just black.
Yeah.
Just black and it whipped forward into that line that we're talking about where it's like that line just kind of disappears. Like bring it all the way around, make it really strong.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. More separation of the design with solid heavy blacks. It would look really, really nice.
For all we know, he intended a lot of this to be black and it just didn't heal that way.
Could be.
Which if that's the case, you need to slow down.
Just slow down a little bit.
Take your time saturating that.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you guys for submitting those pictures.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. Hopefully you got some knowledge out of that and hopefully everybody else did also.
Yeah. I mean, we're lucky enough that we even get to do these critiques because, I mean, we're all still like learning each and every one of us. So, you know, I mean, crap, we critique the shit out of each other.
All the time.
We're always trying to work. I mean, we're so many years into tattooing, but there's always room for improvement. So we really appreciate you guys really submitting these things because it's not easy to get critiqued and sometimes to have your work like, you know, under a microscope because we're all self-conscious at the end of the day.
I mean, that's what we're doing too. We're zooming in far.
Oh, yeah. So. We're gonna.
And I think most tattooers do. The doom zoom is real out here, guys.
Yeah.
The doom zoom.
Yeah, so to be fair, like all these tattoos, they look fine. And we are being very nitpicky and we are zooming into details that most people wouldn't even pick up on.
Right.
Especially out on the street, like not even looking at a photo. It's like,
oh, yeah.
If you see this tattoo out in the wild, you're going to think it looks
good. Like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah, it's good.
Which is why we understand when people attack us and they're like, oh, I think it looks fine. Like, why are you guys bitching about this tattoo? Like, and it's like, hey, listen, we're trying to critique it as best as possible. Find the things that can be, you know, improved upon. I mean, if you like the tattoo as is, like more power to you, but.
And you know. I think that one thing that I love about you guys is that none of you guys here are okay with just fine. We're all after, I want to make something fucking incredible. Right. I want something amazing. And I think that that's what you should try to find within yourself, within your work. How can you make something amazing? Something that people are like, wow, that is fucking sick.
Yeah.
You know, like when you see like musicians and they're like, oh, dude, I just want something that makes you go like,
Exactly. Like my cousin's in a band. But I don't want to just listen to my cousin and I would rather go see a rock star.
Yeah.
That's got like, you know, the pedigree.
Yeah.
They're on stage. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Finer things. Fine is fine.
There's always, there's always, listen guys, there's always like, if you can stay at whatever level you guys want, but there's always levels to transcend. There's always a higher level to something.
How much time we got right now?
An hour.
So. All right. We're going to have an after show.
Okay.
So if you want to catch the after show, you have to jump onto Patreon and become a Patreon supporter. But what we're going to talk about in the after show is the morals of being just an okay tattooer.
Oh.
Is it okay being okay?
Is it okay just being okay?
Oh. I guess it's okay. But is it okay to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast. Thank you to all the new Patreon members that join us. And
oh, that's right. Did I name the new ones yet?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Let's name some names.
Hold on. So, yeah. So this week we are thanking Laziness Tattoo, which is a very funny name for
that's
a tattoo
pretty
artist.
Great.
And Joanna Lafayette. Those two people signed on this week to the Patreon page. And if you want to be like them, head over to patreon.com/honesttattooer and sign up to be a Patreon supporter.
And most of all, if you watch this on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, smash the like button.
Smash.
It really, really does help us out. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And have a great one. And we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Peace.
Peace.